Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome aboard the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show On the Mark for the next 90 minutes. Joe McGranahan and I are going to enjoy marvelous conversation. We're going to show some unusual decorum and compromise and come up with good solutions and put the partisan differences behind us.
Yeah, forget that. I'd rather eat a pepperoni pizza. This is National Pepperoni Pizza Day.
Oh, is it? So you got to talk like a pepperoni pizza.
A
pie. Talk like a pie. Okay. Well, welcome aboard. Joe McGranahan is here. He's mayor of Sheboygan Dam. He's Papa around the dinner table. He's the head of PEMA and FEMA now and is doing a marvelous job in North Carolina.
I do a little brain surgery from time to time, Joe.
He is a doctor. There's no argument about that. He's on the executive board of the state Mayor's Association, too. So if you have problems with your mayor, you can swear at Joe. He can take it. So he would just love to hear from you. Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You're welcome to join us at or email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. For Text Connect members, just reply to a previous message or start up a new one at 70236. If you're not a Text Connect member, you can join the growing number of individuals, hundreds of people now, and that have signed up at wkok.com and now receive breaking news information, breaking weather information, breaking traffic information, or just when something's broken in your home, they'll tell you via Text Connect, 70236. Sign up at WKOK.com. At 9 o'clock this morning, well, of course, we have CBS News, but shortly thereafter, Sherry Jacobson is going to be here. She's an SU professor and Lewisburg area resident and is one of the leaders of the local Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America group. And we're going to be talking about the House Bill 2060 that's stuck in Harrisburg because Republicans don't want to act on it because it could be misperceived as gun control. But all of our local representatives are 100% for it. And we will hear from one representative, Marguerite Quinn from Doylestown, who will be talking about her effort to get that legislation moving. So we'll hear from her on the news line, and Sherry Jacobson's going to be here in person at 9:06, so we will talk about that. Brett Kavanaugh back in the news. He's the U.S. Supreme Court nominee.
Right, he is. And I don't know whether you don't watch The View, do you?
We have it on in the newsroom sometimes. I wouldn't say that I really watch it.
Joy Behar has gone off the deep end again. She says white men are probably guilty Brett Kavanaugh.
Well, see, that's a true statement.
Well, come on.
That's why she's saying it.
It says ABC News The View co-host Joy Behar declared that Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh is probably guilty of decades-old sexual assault allegations and slammed old white men in the Senate Judiciary Committee on Wednesday. These white men, old by the way, are not protecting women, Behar said of congressional Republicans who stand by Kavanaugh. They're protecting a man who is probably guilty. Ironically, she mentioned nothing about Ellison. Nothing about him.
Oh my gosh, move on from that. Stop it. It's not the same thing. They're not the same cases.
It's worse.
If you want it, well, maybe so. All right, let's talk about that terrible worst case another day. We're talking about Mr. Kavanaugh.
Well, I think they're both important because if you're going to be outraged, be outraged about everything. California professor Christine Blasey Ford claimed Kavanaugh sexually assaulted her more than 35 years ago, but it's been unclear if she's willing to testify on Capitol Hill because she's asked the FBI to investigate first, which would delay the hearing. Behar, an outspoken liberal and regular critic of President Trump, urged Kavanaugh to take a lie detector test to prove his innocence. Let's see that from you, or are you a coward? Behar asked, claiming Republicans are vehemently for overturning Roe v. Wade. Ford went public on Sunday Sunday, alleging that Kavanaugh forced himself on her and covered her mouth in the 1980s when Kavanaugh was 17 and she was 15. A growing number of Republican senators are saying it's time to move ahead with a vote if Ford doesn't show up for Monday's planned hearing. Now, I understand that they offered her four options: testify before the full committee, open or closed. So those are two options. Or have a private meeting with the committee, open or closed.
Okay.
You know, it seems to me they bent over backwards to try and give her an opportunity. And really...
Well, they're mostly old white men, so these are what they see as options. But they still don't kind of get it, so...
Well, what is there not to get? I mean, what's unfair about that, just out of curiosity?
Well, apparently she's interested in making sure that this... that her story can and will be corroborated with extensive investigation.
Okay.
Or even... No, scratch that. A cursory investigation with, you know, available witnesses are in the single digits. There's not that many people that can tell you that much about it.
If transparency is the big issue here, why is it the Democrats and Dianne Feinstein have refused to give the chairman of the committee an unredacted copy of her letter?
I don't know. Feinstein is how you say the name, first of all.
Feinstein,
but Joy,
not Feinstein.
All the way back to where you started.
Sure, she's
Joy
fine.
Behar is in the right, and, you know, it is a bunch of old white guys protecting each other. But that's what they do. That's their shtick. They couldn't possibly be asked to consider anything
well,
to
the
understand.
Old white guys are protecting the black man who's accused of the same thing and is Democrat?
Oh, my God. Let's move on, Joe. Let's try to stay focused for 5 minutes here. Do you have ADHD or something?
No, but you have selective outrage here.
Do you have ADHD?
What's your name again?
Is that a person? Is that a personal question? Because you can't seem to stay focused. Next thing you're going to say, well, President Obama did the same thing.
What about Bill Clinton?
See? All right. But anyway, all the way back to Joy Behar. She's in the right on this particular statement because she's only pointing out what is an institutional dilemma. I don't know that she would necessarily have empirical evidence that shows that they're covering up for their old white colleagues.
But this is what
white men in the Senate do is they take good care of each other.
Does she assume he's probably guilty?
Oh, just based on institutional
history. Because he's a man.
History.
He's a white man, right?
Right, exactly. Okay. Institutional history.
So white men rape people, and white men do all these terrible things, and nobody else does them.
Tragically, once in a while, that's true, yeah.
Anyway, Behar isn't the first ABC News personality to weigh in on the controversy swirling around the vacant Supreme Court seat. Earlier this week, Behar's colleague, ABC News chief political analyst Matthew Dowd, was ridiculed after he called Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas a sexual predator when attempting to smear Kavanaugh. It was despicable and outrageous what happened to Anita Hill more than 25 years ago, and a sexual predator was given a lifetime seat on the Supreme Court. Let's hope history doesn't repeat itself in 2018. So much for editorial, neutrality.
Well, she's an opinion maker.
No, this is a man.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Matthew Dowd.
We're still on Joy.
No, it was the story. Had you not had ADHD or whatever it is,
I had moved on to reading our letters.
You would have heard me mention that it was her colleague at ABC News.
Mr. Dowd?
Yes, Matthew Dowd.
He was on the show?
No, he made this statement himself.
Okay.
He claimed that Clarence Thomas was a sexual predator.
There's no men on The View.
There's no view of women. I know there's no. Well, occasionally they have male guests, but that's about as far as they go.
But they have them for lunch. They get chewed up and spit out. All right, coming in. We got one brand new letter, one old letter. Let's start out with the new one.
Which is the new one, left or right?
Left is new.
Okay, the people who just spent the last 3 years yelling, "Lock her up!" at Trump rallies now feel Brett Kavanaugh deserves due process. 8 question marks. Wow. Every time I hear the alternate facts, alt-right, on the mark, open their mouths, I have an image of Rod Steiger saying, "You have just entered the Twilight Zone."
Rod Sterling.
Sterling, I'm sorry.
But no, that's what
no,
it's...
No, he asked Steiger,
it
but it is
Steiger.
Sterling, right.
Anyway.
Rod Serling.
Serling, yes, Serling, not Sterling, Serling. Thank you, Rob. GOP chooses 11 gray-haired old farts to question Christine Blasey Ford, singing, "And the beat goes on, and the beat goes on, and on, and on, and on, and on." Signed,
yep.
Tom.
Yep, that's right. Chris, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, I'll agree with Joe that Keith Ellison should not be put on the Supreme Court until that thing is settled.
That's a good one. No, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's hypocrisy
and
by Democrats.
And, of course, the Republicans have no hypocrisy on this, considering both the chairman of the committee and who's the other guy, Hatch, is he on it? Yeah, Hatch. Both gave speeches during the Anita Hill thing saying that they wanted FBI investigations. That was the proper and right thing to do, to have an FBI investigation of the issue.
Yeah, but that was different. That was sexual harassment in a federal workplace that was 100% current and, well, not verifiable, I guess. That
wasn't the reasons they gave.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I understand that, but I'm just saying.
And Joe was again spreading the got duped by Republican misinformation. I don't know if he does it by accident or just does it on purpose all the time anymore.
He doesn't vet the information that he gets from Fox News.
Well, what's wrong? What am I doing here?
The case you mentioned twice yesterday about the Kavanaugh's mother forfeiting their house.
No, apparently, and I've seen this story more than one place. Kavanaugh's mother was a judge who ruled against Blasey Ford's.
Yeah, that's the error. That's the error right there again.
What's the error?
The case was she never ruled on the case. The case was settled out of court before a ruling came. And what the mother did was actually give permission for the case to go on, I believe. And that was her only basis. That was the only thing she did, but the case was never heard in court.
So it was like a preliminary arraignment only for a...
And it was settled out of court.
Civil action.
And she made no ruling against them. That, you know, and the other thing you said, you know, you were talking the other day about how Feinstein had to be the one to leak it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, strangely enough, when you look at the timeline, you find out the time it got leaked was after she forwarded it to the FBI. And what did the FBI do to it with it? They forwarded it to the White House.
Who promptly leaked it.
And then the White House started all these leaks about well, I don't know for sure, but it seems like, to time-wise, it works perfectly to assume they started the leaks. But they started a misinformation campaign. You can go to the Times today and find 8 stories on right-wing sites that slander the professor.
Well, let me ask you this.
Weren't on various different issues that are false.
Why won't the Democrats, why won't Feinstein or Feinstein, whichever way you want to pronounce it, why won't she give the committee chairman an unredacted copy of the letter?
You know, how am I supposed to know that, Joe?
Well, you know everything else. I thought you knew that, too.
He got you on that one, Chris. You do know a lot about this.
I have your word that that's the case so far.
Yeah, I don't believe it. I think that's
It was
more
all
Fox.
Over the news this morning on more than one network.
Well, why doesn't the White House give it to them?
Because the White House only has the copy the FBI got, which was redacted.
Oh, it had her name out, right? But everybody knows her name?
Well, she opted to come forward.
I still think that was done by Feinstein or Feinstein.
I think the woman decided to come forward because of the misinformation about it. And I think some people already knew it was her.
And the Democrats had no interest in putting out misinformation about it.
Well, yes, they did. I think what happened here is that Diane thought that just the letter itself, redacted though it may have been, would have derailed the nomination. And when it didn't, she had no alternative except to up the ante.
And the other thing you were saying about the only two people should testify and why do they need an FBI investigation?
No, I didn't say that only two people should testify. I just
okay.
said I don't...
You said why would they need an FBI investigation, I believe.
Right. What would that prove?
Well, first of all, that it's against the law to lie to the FBI. So Kavanaugh and his friend, who is going to try to refuse to testify, Judge. His name is Judge. Just to confuse the issue. The judge's best friend in college was a judge, anyway.
He hasn't refused to testify.
He says he doesn't want to, I think.
Well, she doesn't want to either.
To.
Chris, she doesn't want to either now. She's been offered the chance, and she doesn't want to come.
On the terms they're doing.
What term? Now, what's unfair about that? I will do it open because or closed.
Because they haven't had an FBI investigation, which I was just explaining to you why it's important
but
to do.
Let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this question.
What is you don't want to hear that.
Well,
okay,
no, but it's to your point. It's to your point. If she comes and testifies, she can clear up a lot of the questions that would help the FBI to proceed with their investigation if one was deemed necessary. But the letter I saw and the letter we read on this program was very vague. She apparently doesn't recall all the facts. So how can the FBI investigate something where she isn't even certain what date it happened or where it happened? How can they investigate that, Chris?
They can interview the people involved.
Well, that's what the House or that's what the Senate committee was going to do Monday, interview the people
and
involved.
Yes, you get pre-interviews, and then they know how to direct their questions. They know what the people are going to be claiming, and that's how you usually do those investigations.
Fair enough.
That's what the chairman and Hatch, Grassley and Hatch, both said was the proper way to proceed.
And you want to put them on the record?
In the Aneda Hill case.
You want to put them on the record? Isn't it a crime to testify falsely under oath? You put them on both on oath before the committee. If one of them lies and you find out, you bring the charges. So what's the difference?
Yeah, but they can go to the judge and talk to him, too.
Well, yeah, but what's the difference? You say an FBI investigation is a crime to lie to the FBI. It's a crime to lie under oath. Let her go. Let them both go before the committee and testify under oath.
How can you examine that right on the spot? That puts you in a position not knowing anything when you go in to ask your question.
I would say if something came out of that hearing that indicated they needed a further amplification of the facts.
The Republicans would be glad to delay it. Yes, I am sure of that. Yes. They're trying to rush this through in so many different ways already.
And the Democrats are doing everything they can to hold it up. So what's the difference?
They sure are.
The fact
is, are the Republicans rushing it through so that nothing will come out?
No, I don't think that's the case. They've offered every possible option of this woman to come forward.
They haven't offered the information on the White House memos, have they?
Well, the first thing that happened was she said she wanted to testify, and now she doesn't. So what's the difference?
Well, she assumed there was going to be a FBI investigation with Aneda Hill.
That didn't come out until later. That's not what she asked for at first. She said she wanted her opportunity to testify before the committee. She didn't specify anything about an FBI investigation until after she got an attorney.
All right, we're at an impasse here also. Thank you so much, Chris. I appreciate the call. Thanks for being our
Get your information right for a change.
And if you would, too, we'd have a better conversation.
Yeah, all right, moving on.
Better conversation. I answered your questions. I said I don't know the ones I don't know instead of making up stuff like you do.
He doesn't make it up. He gets it from Fox News.
Oh, yeah, Feinstein leaked it. He doesn't know that.
Yes, I do.
No, you do not.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Diane told me herself she did it.
That information got leaked to Joe. All right, we're going to take a quick break. If you'd like to weigh in on this, call us immediately. 1-800-795-9565. I got a half a dozen texts from Stan, who also suffers from that ailment we talked about earlier, and which we're glad it works out in our favor. And we have an email talking about...
What ailment's that? What ailment does Stan
have? ADHD.
Oh, okay.
Your ailment.
Oh, brother.
1-800-795-9565. We'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. We got a caller, a half a dozen texts, and an email on this topic.
At a partridge in a pear tree.
It's the Kavanaugh debacle in Washington, D.C. Don't forget, we got guests coming in at 9 o'clock, or one's coming in and one's calling in to talk about House Bill 2060, the bill that would keep individuals who've been convicted and receive protection from abuse orders against them from having their guns in a pronto fashion. Republicans misconstrued that as some sort of a gun control so they wouldn't vote on it. So we're going to hear from one Republican, Marguerite Quinn of Doylestown, and we'll have a guest in our studio from the local moms group. Joe from Sunbury, thanks for calling in. You're on the mark.
I hear some.
Yeah, that's Joe texting you. He doesn't know how to mute his phone.
Okay, I would like to just add something else along the lines of the so-called witnesses that Blasey Ford has, you know, named. As one is Mark Judge, and he made a statement right flatly denying. And if he would go to the FBI, you don't think that he would change his story, right? I mean, that would be a disaster. Right, you couldn't make a public statement and then the FBI come out and, well, he changed his stories, or even the judge himself couldn't, because he made his statement. But there's been another guy identified, and this is a article from Eric Erickson, which I don't know. It says that this guy has been identified as from Blasey Ford, I think in her notes to the psychiatrist, as PJ. Well, PJ has come forward, and he is Patrick J. Smith with a Y, or Smythe. So his statement is, I understand that I've been identified by Blasey Ford as a person she remembered as PJ, who supposedly was present at the party she described in her statement to the Washington Post. Smythe says in his statement to the Senate Judiciary Committee, I am issuing a statement today to make it clear to all involved that I have no knowledge of the party in question, nor do I have any knowledge of all the allegations of improper contact she has leveled against Brett Kavanaugh. So one thing about these investigations, you do interview the periphery, right? That's how you get, like, confirmation of what happened. So if there are witnesses, so two witnesses have been identified by her, and both of them have denied that they weren't even there. And her vagueness of doesn't know what year it is. I mean, without a thorough investigation where...
Well, Judge is the other guy, right? Judge is the other male that was involved in this?
This is Patrick J. Smythe. I think it came forward yesterday. This is...
Well, he's the other guy.
In addition to Judge, right.
Okay. Well, they're co-defendants. Of course they're going to say they're not involved.
They're not defendants in anything.
Right. No, they're witnesses that she identified.
Co-perpetrators.
She has them somehow in these notes to a psychiatrist that somehow became public, which I often think that's like restricted, that nobody ever sees those kinds of things. Somehow this has come out that these two men were there too, and they're like, oh, let me straighten it out and let Kavanaugh himself have his, you know, he made his statement, and these two men, you know, they give their statement.
There's an even better one, though. This morning on the news, I heard that she called one of her former classmates in high school to ask if she had ever mentioned that she had been sexually assaulted when they were in high school.
Ah.
And the girl said, no, I you never said anything about that to me.
Right. So her story, if the FBI would investigate, it gets achier to me if people would. And these people are not going to recant and say, oh, the FBI, well, no, I do remember it now. They're not going to do that. That would make them look foolish, that it doesn't make any sense. They're not going to come forward with public statements and then go back on it.
Even if I had some memory, a partial memory of something like that, and I was testifying, I would probably say I don't remember, or I'm not sure, simply because it's 35 years ago, and my memory could be faulty.
Joe is perfectly willing to lie under oath.
No, I said my memory could be faulty. I wouldn't want to say the wrong thing.
Right. And that's what's important. If we still remember how our system has flipped things on the head by innocent until proven guilty, not such as accused at the Salem witch hunts, that they were accused and they were guilty and they had to prove themselves innocent by confessing to being witches. Either way, you were one way you were killed and the other way you were disbanded. You were a witch forever. So, I mean, that system is gone. So let's stick with the innocent. Proven guilty.
That was a pretty good system, though. They dunked you in the water in about three or four minutes. If you died, you were innocent. If you lived, you were guilty.
Yeah.
So.
In which case, they'd kill you.
Why don't you just do it to Kavanaugh? and I'm glad St. Christopher called for the couple of times the last couple of days, and he knows it all. Okay.
Thank you, Joe.
You
thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
The idea of the new testimony. Thank you, man.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you. All right. A bunch of old white men that don't want to hear what Ms. Ford has to say, including Stan, who sends us text. It says, when an accuser can't recall the date, address of the alleged assault or who was at the party or exactly what is the evidence that should be investigated, again, the FBI would have no jurisdiction. Kavanaugh has had background investigations multiple times over the last 15 to 20 years. As for the story, who was involved, Ford can't remember, so the accuser gets to set the terms of the hearing. Why would that happen?
That's a question. So the accuser gets to determine the terms of the hearing?
Since when? So those are some of his texts, but he's got more to say, so we'll read more of those texts in the hours ahead, because he's busy, busy, busy with that smartphone. Somebody take his phone away. All right. You're listening to On the Mark on News Radio 1070 WDKOK. We got a guest segment coming up, then news headlines, and then we'll be back to Kavanaugh because we got some input on that. This is WDKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, Mark Lawrence here. Joe McGranahan is with me. We have a guest here. We'll introduce them, him or her, and we'll introduce them. There we go. One's on the line and one's here in person. Whew. Other than the words on the show, it went pretty well. All right. On the Mark, sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. or text us at 70236. I'm glad to say that we have Sherry Jacobson here. She's one of the founding members of the local chapter, the Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America group. Really brought us a number of activities over the past couple of years about the Moms group, really trying to push for some sensible gun control that could make us all safer, even though almost nobody in a position to actually impose changes is interested in doing so, at least in our area. But one bill made it through. House Bill 2060 was approved in the Senate and in the House, but is being held up and is stalled. First of all, Sherry, welcome aboard.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you coming in. What's the impasse with this bill?
Well, we are asking our the leadership in the House of Representatives, Pennsylvania's House, Mike Terzai, who is the Speaker, and Dave Reed, who is the majority leader, we are asking them to bring this life-saving legislation to the floor for a vote. It would promptly and securely disarm domestic abusers. It is wildly popular across the state. Some 78% of gun-owning households support it. And it's important to bring it to the floor for a vote. It's gone through the initial hurdles. It's passed through the Judiciary Committee in the House, the Appropriations Committee, the Rules Committee. It just needs to come to the floor for a vote. We're going to be in the Capitol on September 24th asking for a vote on the legislation. We certainly appreciate that Representative Terzai and Representative Reed did not table the legislation back in June. And it's still alive, and we're looking forward to everyone doing the right thing and protecting our Pennsylvania families and law enforcement.
Well, they're reacting to this cockamamie idea that it's some form of gun control, and that if it's passed, some obscure gun control group is going to make sure that Republican senators are outed for voting for a form of gun control. What this would do, it would take an individual who has an active public protection from abuse order against them, it would make sure that their guns are taken away, so the person who has the PFA PFA and they're named against them and has to stop abusing somebody and stay away from them, it would take their guns away immediately and give them to law enforcement or the courts instead of requiring them to give up their guns in the days ahead to their best friend, at which time they can probably procure them again at any time. This is never going to be misconstrued as gun control if you look at it logically. But again, this is Harrisburg.
Yeah, I don't think it's in anybody's interest to see criminals or violent people armed. That's just a public safety issue. It's not an ideological thing. And what the bill would do, as you mentioned, is make sure that people who were subjects of final protection from abuse orders, these are people who have had full due process. They have, if you are under a final protection from abuse order, the maximum length of which is 3 years, it means that you have been notified of the allegations, you have a right to an attorney, a right to a hearing, a right to present evidence and contest the issuance of the PFA. These are not people who are simply looking at their neighbor funny and their neighbor gets bent out of shape. These are dangerous people who have been afforded the full due process and still found to be dangerous. It's not in the interest of public health to have these people walking around armed.
All right, we're
Representative Quinn on the phone, and maybe she can add something to this. Representative Quinn, would you care to comment?
Sure. I'd like to add, and thank you for putting some attention on this bill. I'm hopefully optimistic that this time next week we'll have had this bill move out of Pennsylvania's House of Representatives and kick it back to the Senate. You were just discussing the civil side of the bill, where the protection from abuse order, at least the final order, comes into play. Also in this bill, there's a component for the criminal side. When someone has gone through due process and has been convicted of a misdemeanor crime of domestic violence, present law today says once that happens, conviction for a misdemeanor crime of domestic violence, that the convicted found guilty has 60 days to turn in their firearms. And this legislation would say, 60 days is too long, we're going to bring that into 24 hours. So there's two sides. We've got the criminal side and the civil side. And I'm going to concur with everything that has been said. This is a domestic violence bill. There is a firearms component. It is a common sense bill. I have a good record of voting for Second Amendment rights, and I see in no way this violates it. You know, when we have our Second Amendment rights, we also have responsibilities that go with those rights, and that means not beating up on or threatening someone, which would have been the causes for the charges for criminal, the misdemeanor crime of domestic violence, or what would have initiated the PFA process.
By way of introduction, Marguerite Quinn is on the line. She's a state representative from the Doylestown area, 143rd District. She is a Republican.
Does this bill go far enough? You know, I there was a story from Western Pennsylvania where a guy who was just about to get his divorce finalized, he walks into a judge's office and starts shooting. You know, obviously no one in their right mind wants people who are mentally unstable to have firearms or who are going through a difficult and emotional time. Should the bill consider that type of thing, too, or are you just happy to get it down to 24 hours?
Well, I think I concur with what Mark said when he opened this segment of his show right now, that there's never going to be anything that's going to be foolproof. This bill has a focus on the PFA process and on the domestic violence process. Whether it goes far enough, it is written in a way that I believe it could get the votes.
All right, what's the holdup?
Yeah.
The holdup is we haven't been in session since we dismissed. We left town on whatever that Monday in June was, the 20-something on the Monday. When we come back this coming Monday, it's on the agenda. So I've been told this afternoon I'll actually see a schedule. Typically on a Thursday afternoon we get what's called the week ahead and a glimpse, but it's my understanding, and as I said, I'm cautiously optimistic that it goes through, that we get back into caucus, discuss how the bill had been amended, and bring it up for a vote. Another holdup, you know, not that there's been some misinformation put out there about the bill.
What misinformation is out there?
Well, I could only speak to the emails that I've received from an organization that believes that this bill is actually, you know, the first step towards gun control in Pennsylvania.
Well, has the leadership, even off the record, indicated that they're willing to consider moving this, or is this just going to be one of those bills that dies? And, you know, and, well, I'm sorry, we couldn't get it to the floor. You know, they could get it to the floor. If the leadership was motivated, it could be out there fast, couldn't it?
It can't be out there any faster than it is right now, because we're not back in session until Monday. So I believe that we'll be discussing this bill on Monday in caucus. I believe it will be a long caucus, not just for this bill, but for other things on the agenda. And it's my hope then come Tuesday there's a vote. So off the record and on the record, I have every indication other than seeing it up in front of me and being there on Tuesday.
So it's gone through everything it needs to go through. It's just a matter of getting it to the floor.
I just need it to the floor, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And so after it passes, assuming it passes the House, then it goes to the Senate for what, concurrence?
Correct.
And then if that passes, it comes back to you again for a final vote, right? Up or down? No amendments?
Correct.
Okay. So how long would all that...
Well, if it concurs in the Senate, they don't have to pop it back to us.
Oh, all right, if they concur with your legislation, okay. So what are the odds of that? Do you have any feel for what the Senate would do?
I feel confident given their unanimous vote in sending over Senator Tom Killian's version of this bill back in the spring.
Well, that's encouraging then, because this certainly needs to be done.
Tell me about this obscure group that came forward and promulgated the gun control argument that you know, really shouldn't be tied to this, but they did so and threatened lawmakers if they voted for it, they would advocate to their constituents that they were voting for some sort of a gun control measure. Who is this group?
The letterhead on the email I got said Firearm Owners Against Crime.
But beyond that, you don't have any indication who they are. It doesn't sound like anybody who's certainly widely known in Pennsylvania.
Well, I believe they're more widely known in different parts of the state. I hail from Bucks County, and I don't know them to have a strong physical presence here. Yet I'm sure there's constituents here in Bucks who are familiar with them.
All right. Sherry, your reaction. You're monitoring all of this. You've been advocating for this bill. You had local rallies. You just had a letter to the editor where you got in lockstep. All the local Republican lawmakers are on board.
Yeah. Hello, Representative Quinn. It's great to hear you on our radio station. I appreciate your taking the time out this morning to speak clearly and honestly about this bill. And this is a really great example of exactly what voters say they want. They want bipartisanship. They want people passing good laws that are going to promote public safety. I think the fact that, you know, both the Senate and the House version of this bill have been introduced by Republicans, that every single representative in your listening area, Linda Schlegel-Culver, Fred Keller, Representative Millard, Representative Everett, and Representative Mosser have, you know, taken the time to sign a letter that has gone out to media outlets in our area, making a stand for this bill, is a really great indication of exactly how commonsensical it is and why we need to pass it. I think listeners who are eager to see this legislation enacted to protect our Pennsylvania families, to protect our Pennsylvania law enforcement, because make no mistake, these domestic violence calls are dangerous calls for our law enforcement to go out on, and it doesn't behoove them to have a known domestic abuser armed. That people who want to see this legislation pass, they could call Representative Terzai at 717-772-9943. They could call the Majority Leader, Dave Reed, 717-705-7173. Thank them for not tabling this legislation in the spring when they could have, and ask them to bring it to the floor for a vote.
And is that, well, that will be your message, Representative Quinn? You'll be talking about that on Monday at your presentation.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to be delighted to join with the moms. They've been working on this all summer. They don't stop. They haven't stopped. And I appreciate the education that they've been giving to my colleagues about this, pointing out what... And, yeah, that's going to be my presentation and my voice for common sense. Because sometimes common sense isn't all that common, huh?
Well, certainly not in Harrisburg. But that's that's another topic. You're part of the solution. We'll say that to be 100% clear. All right, well, we'll give you an open mic. Anything else to add on this topic? Sherry's going to stay here a few moments more, but we'll let you get back to your busy schedule. I know ramping up with all the activities in Harrisburg, you got a lot to do with various meetings and hearings. An additional remark, please.
This is long overdue that we pass this bill, period. Listen to the facts. The facts are the facts. Don't listen to rhetoric on this.
All right. Very well. Well, thank you so much, Representative Quinn. Very much appreciated. You have something on this, Joe?
I just wondered. I looked up firearms owners against crime. I checked their website, and the only bill they seem to have any interest in at the moment is House Bill 1872. You think the fact that you're not so prominently displayed on their website means they may back off a little bit?
No.
Okay.
It would be nice, but I doubt it.
Well, good luck, Representative. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us.
Yeah, and keep in touch. Come visit us sometime. It's a long way away, but we'd love to have you up here in central Pennsylvania and talk about these and a myriad of other issues. We see your name popping up in a lot of discussions down there.
You can bring Linda Culver with you.
Yeah.
Oh, you've got some real quality reps up there. I'm delighted to be able to call them my colleagues.
Yep, we're lucky.
Thank you for your interest in this.
Thank you, Representative.
Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you. State House member Margarita Quinn of Doylestown, 143rd District. She's a Republican. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue our discussion about the local moms group and this legislation and the common sense and the irritation that seems to follow when you get some group with this kind of a claim standing out there. We have some texts on this topic. We'll see what our guest has to say about that. We'll be talking about this in greater detail momentarily here on WKOK.
Hi, this is Tyler from Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg, and I'm proud to be part of the Hometown Pharmacy family. No matter which of our family-owned and operated locations you choose, you'll receive the same high level of one-on-one customer service and even some of the extras you just can't get at the big box stores. Sure, we'll fill your prescriptions, but what's more, we stock medical supplies like braces, wheelchairs, and crutches, and we'll take the time to help you choose the one that's best for you. If you have either type 1 or type 2 diabetes, you can talk with our pharmacist and staff about controlling your blood sugar to help manage your diabetes. Can't make it in? We'll deliver to you, free of charge. For more information, check out our website, trutzandshademtnpharmacies.com.
Now that's the way it should be. Service that goes above and beyond. Simple as that. Hometown Pharmacies in Lewisburg, Northumberland, Bloomsburg, Danville, Trutz Pharmacy on Walnut Street in Mifflinburg, and Shade Mountain Pharmacy on Route 35 in Mount Pleasant Mills. Making a local difference every season, every day.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, a guest in the studio, Sherry Jacobson's here. We know her as a Susquehanna University professor. She is, the mother of Nick and Katie. Do you have any other kids?
No.
That is plenty, of course.
And our dog died in March, unfortunately.
Oh, sad to say.
Thank you.
But, this particular family is a bunch of real doers up in Lewisburg. Nick, we've interviewed him about the walkout last year, and Katie participated in a walkout, I believe, at the middle school, too. Probably helped to organize that. Now she's a high schooler, boy, so now you know the time's marching on. But she's wearing the hat today as a Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America organizer in Lewisburg. You're going to be at Monday's hearing in a press conference rally in Harrisburg?
Yes, we'll be in the rotunda in the Capitol building at 11 o'clock. We have some legislators speaking. We have some people from the Pennsylvania Coalition Against Domestic Violence who are on the agenda to speak, some people from our organization, and we will be asking for a vote. And I hope listeners will thank our local representatives for supporting this legislation and consider giving Mike Terzai a call. He is the speaker, and and Dave Reed, the majority leader, and asking them to put this legislation on the floor for a vote.
All right. And there is the NRA is neutral on this, so they haven't taken a position. This cockamamie gun group has their opinion. One of our listeners...
That makes it sound like you just called the NRA a cockamamie gun group. You're
no, a different...
About firearms owners against crime.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thanks for that clarification. Yeah, I have no idea what I'm saying, so you have to stop me when I say the wrong thing. I'm going to try to read these texts in the correct order. It says, yes, getting all weapons away from domestic abusers is necessary. The question is, have they been convicted of the abuse? If so, federal law says they are not to have firearms and should be stripped of their weapons because federal law says they can't own or purchase. So the question comes up, why wait 24 hours? The sheriff should immediately go to the convicted residents to confiscate. So that's the criminal portion of this, right?
Yes.
So that's the confiscation of all their firearms. So that says that, when is aggravated domestic abuse charges going to become a felony? Okay, this is another topic here. Or another question. Do you know the answer to that?
I don't know the answer
If ever.
Well, is the word aggravated part of the law? Domestic abuse is domestic abuse, isn't it? Is the word aggravated, does that enter into it?
Well, aggravated, yeah, that's a...
But is that a separate charge? There's domestic abuse. Is there aggravated domestic abuse?
Well, what we're dealing with this legislation are people who have misdemeanor convictions against them, who've already been found to be abusers and convicted of the crime of domestic violence, and we are talking about people who have final protection from abuse orders against them. And that's our focus, is making sure these people don't have access to firearms. It is the case that federal legislation prohibits the people who've been convicted of domestic violence from owning firearms, but there is a loophole and no provision for making sure that the guns they already own are not accessible to them. And this law would close that loophole, provide a means for ensuring that these people do not have access to their already existing firearms.
Well, let's say someone gets a PFA order against another person. What happens? Does the sheriff say, do you own guns, or do they look for proof, or can they go to your home and check to see if you have firearms there to take them from you?
Well, it's not just a question of somebody saying, I don't like this person,
right?
No, what we're talking about...
I didn't make it sound that way.
Yeah, what we're talking about are people who have already, as I said, you know, had access to due process, who have already had a right to an attorney, a right to a hearing, a right to present evidence and contest the issuance of the PFA. These are the people we're talking about. And yes, in that case, the sheriff would have the capacity to separate that person from the firearms for public safety reasons, for the safety of families and law enforcement, and either make sure that a licensed gun dealer, holds the weapons, or the sheriff's office, or in some cases, a licensed armory or a court-approved attorney.
So at the end of the three-year period, then, they would theoretically get their guns back?
Well, first of all, not every single person has that three-year period. That's just the maximum length that a final protection from abuse order can last. And then if there is no reason to issue another protection from abuse order, then yes, that person would have the firearms returned.
Right, the PFAs are generally expire. You don't typically hear of one that's lasting more than a year or so. So, but they certainly can under the correct circumstances. And really, this I think maybe we're dealing with the legislation. We really haven't talked at all, and I haven't asked you about the what's the problem here. The problem is that particularly women, but sometimes men too, are killed by violent individuals that are named in domestic abuse situations. I mean, it's a terrible and frequent tragedy that's happened in every town around here. I'm going to generalize, but it's not always this way. But men kill women that they've been abusing. The more police get involved, the more likely this woman is to be killed by the man.
You know, Mark, last year, 78 Pennsylvanians had their lives taken from them by guns and domestic violence incidents. That's like every 5 days or so, a Pennsylvania had her or his life taken from him. In 2016, two law enforcement officers had their lives taken by people who had protection from abuse orders against them but still had their access to their weapons. It's not fair to our law enforcement to send them out on these dangerous calls knowing that somebody who has already been proven to be dangerous is armed as well. It's just not fair to them.
All right. The Bombs Group has meetings coming up and activities, rallies, you name it. Monday's rallies in Harrisburg. What time of day is that in Monday?
That'll be 11 o'clock in the Rotunda. We invite all Pennsylvanians to join us for that. You do not have to be a member of Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America. Any Pennsylvanian that would like to make sure that dangerous domestic abusers do not have access to their firearms is welcome to join us that day.
Well, I hope they don't all take you up on that. That would really crowd the Rotunda.
Well, this certainly does fit under the definition of common sense gun regulation.
Right. That would make us safer. How about that? Well, yes, some of those, at least a dozen of those abuse, the homicides you talked about last year, would not have happened if everything had gone successfully in applying this law at that time. So, you know, it's strange to think that, you know, you can actually look back on a law and say this would have saved lives if it had been effectively applied and, you know, some people are in full compliance along the way.
Even if it didn't save all 78, if it saved
it wouldn't do all 78. They're not all precisely the same circumstances. But, all right, monthly meetings. Moms Group does this.
We have monthly meetings the third Wednesday of the month. We welcome all Pennsylvanians, all people in our area who are eager to work on gun safety issues, whether it is preventing unintentional shootings, toddlers getting a hold of unsecured firearms, for example. We have a program, Be Smart, that addresses those issues and trains caregivers to make sure that children under the age of 17 do not have access to firearms. If people would like to work on that would be great. We have a Survivors Network, which supports people who whose lives have been affected by gun violence. Either because they had a loved one taken from them by gun violence or have experienced a shooting, again, or had a loved one experience a shooting. We have support for survivors. We work on reasonable legislation like this that would help keep all Pennsylvanians safer. And we welcome anyone who wants to join. We have gun owners in our group. We have people who are not gun owners. We meet the third Wednesday of the month. And people who are interested in that can email GunSense4CSV, as in Central Susquehanna Valley. That is GunSense4CSV at gmail.com. You can also visit our website and just say, I'd like to find a meeting near me, and we will pop up from the database, and you will get the information about our meeting.
Well, Sherry, thank you so much for taking the time to come in and join us this morning. We really appreciate it.
You guys have been great friends to our organization and this kind of common sense approach to preventing gun violence, and we really appreciate it.
Well, you got an open mic anytime. Is that email germane to our issue here today?
No.
It popped in. Okay. GunSense4CSV at gmail.com. Third Wednesday of the month. Sherry, thank you so much for all you're doing, trying to make a positive impact on here. Very much appreciated.
Thank you
coming in. We'll be back shortly with news headlines. We've got more emails and texts related to Brett Kavanaugh coming up.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Super duper thanks to Sherry Jacobson for checking in. Linda Schlegel-Culver gets co-producer credits today. Hooked us up with Representative Marguerite Quinn of Doylestown, who's a strong advocate and will be present at Monday's rally. And of course, Sherry Jacobson's doing some work on this, so we appreciate that. Our toll-free line now open, 1-800-795-9565, the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line, sponsored by the Shade Mounted Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Louis Lewisburg Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg, and the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. They want you to know that they got a personalized service. For example, let's talk about the owners or some of the key players there. Terry's out at Shade Mountain Pharmacy out on Route 35 in Mount Pleasant Mills. He is the owner. And so what that does is that tells you that you got a stakeholder that's working there. It's not just somebody who's going to say, take a number and get out of the way. He doesn't even have one of those little number devices. He doesn't believe in them, but he does believe in personalized service. He's got a confidential area where he can talk to the pharmacist, whether it's him on duty or the substitute. You can just always get super service. Tyler's out at Trutz Pharmacy on Walnut Street in Mifflinburg. That's associated with the whole Trutz situation there. They're good owners, and I'll tell you what, the hometown pharmacy at Trutz Pharmacy is just a super place for you to be looking at the fact that you need more from your pharmacist these days. You don't want somebody just dispensing the pills and giving them out. You got to know what they're going to do, and they can do that. Steve's at the Norrie Pharmacy on Duke Street in Northumberland. He's a super guy, and he tells you over and over, you can always get to the Norrie Pharmacy no matter what they're doing on Duke Street. In fact, there's no cars or trucks in front of the store right now because it's just a short section of Duke Street that's open, and that'll switch shortly, so do pay attention there. Kathy out of the Danville Pharmacy on Mill Street in Danville, an award-winning, super smart young businesswoman out there in Danville and doing a fantastic job right next to the police station. Jennifer's at the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. She's the head pharmacist, and she'll tell you we've been doing for 20 years what all the local hometown pharmacies are emulating, and that is super service of customers, delivering, drug take-back, you name it. They got it all at the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. Finally, Brad at the Lewisburg Pharmacy. He's the humblest but the smartest. He's on 2nd Street in Lewisburg. He is always knowledgeable, all constantly reading up on the books and continuing education. He's the smartest guy everywhere he goes. Lewisburg Pharmacy. Hometown pharmacies. All right, very, very brief news headlines here. The booming U.S. economy is fantastic. Dr. Anubhav Basu, president and CEO of the Sage Policy Group in Baltimore, says our valley's being helped by some positive national trends.
Namely, things like industrial production, which is surging, as is the distribution or logistics industry. And part of that is this e-commerce revolution. There are also major universities here. There are major health systems here. And they also have been adding demand for workers, adding to collective spending power.
But he says the trade war could help hurt this valley, plus especially farmers.
The effect of these tariffs is to drive up the prices that consumers face, drive up inflation. Well, driving up inflation also has the tendency to drive up interest rates. And when interest rates go up, that tends not to be good for asset prices, commercial real estate, stock market, bond valuations.
We'll have more about that at WKOK.com. Western Pennsylvania College has renamed its student activity center after receiving credible allegations of sexual abuse against the Hall's previous clerical namesake. Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reports that St. Vincent College in Latrobe has removed Representative Alcuin Tash's name from the center. It was named Alcuin Hall after the priest and former dean of the university died in 1982. The college received a report from the St. Vincent since Arch Abbey last month, naming about a dozen Benedictines it had received credible allegations against. The report alleges Tash abused multiple people back in the 1950s and 60s. And Donald Trump Jr.'s attack tweet this week showing CNN's Anderson Cooper waist-deep in floodwaters has driven home the point that politics, not just the weather, was an important subtext of the media coverage of Hurricane Florence. The president said, "Stop lying to make the real Donald Trump look bad," unquote. The president's son admonished Cooper, triggering a harsh response from the CNN journalist. What they said was that when he was standing in floodwater, he was actually kneeling in several inches.
No, he was standing in a drainage ditch, and you could see in the picture his camera crew was standing in ankle-deep water, if that.
Okay, right, fantastic. So, obviously, he was in deeper water, no argument there. Quote, "I didn't see him down in North Carolina the last few days helping out, lending a hand, but I'm sure he was busy doing something important besides tweeting lies," Cooper said on his show Monday. Ever since President George W. Bush's administration was crippled by its response to Hurricane Katrina, politicians and news organizations have been acutely aware of the stakes raised by big storms. Some Republicans never forgave former Governor Chris Christie for being photographed with President Barack Obama after Sandy struck before 2012. All right, so we got that nonsense out of the way. President versus Anderson Cooper. Well, one of them has an open mic every night, and the other one has his Twitter account, so this could go on for a while.
Well, I think they do that for dramatic effect. It's like the guy.
Oh, I know. It's ridiculous. They stand
on the Weather
in the water.
The fellow on the Weather Channel who was looking like he was about to be blown over, and two people across the street are strolling by. no effect from the wind at all.
Well, they were on the leeward side of the building, maybe?
No, they were just walking in the same direction he was standing and looking, and they weren't being blown over.
I think they were on the leeward side, which is a good, better place to stand. Well, I know. I watched this develop last week. I was watching CNN a little bit. And at first, they couldn't find anything wrong. Finally, they found some windy spots where the trees were right behind them, and you could see them moving a little bit. And then they found, finally, some rain came, so they stood out in the rain. And then whenever they could find an inch of water, they'd stand in it, you know, as though that makes, you know, you look like you're, I don't know, you look foolish in my opinion.
This all started with Dan Rather, you know, Port Arthur, Texas.
Oh, is that what began this trend? Okay.
Yes, he was out there standing in the middle of a hurricane with a live camera pointed on him.
Okay.
You know, and it's become then sort of like a badge of honor. We don't have as many war correspondents as we used to have, but now it's important to stand out in the middle of a bad storm to look like a hero.
Oh, brother. All right, on the topic of Judge Kavanaugh, Joe, I believe you start here.
Okay.
And then go down, I think. The top one's unrelated.
All right. When an accuser can't recall the date, address, or of an alleged assault, or who was at the party, what exactly is the evidence should be investigated? The FBI has no jurisdiction.
Okay. Sorry about that. The FBI has no jurisdiction in an alleged assault case from 35 years ago, but in the Clarence Thomas case, the FBI did have jurisdiction because Hill and Thomas were both federal employees. So that's the sum total of the Kavanaugh texts that we have received. However, we do have an email also. Joe, there's that.
Okay. He says, I have had a friend who faked a heart attack, and it was all fine until someone called 911. When the EMTs, a policeman, an ambulance showed up at the door, it was a different story. Let's see, a trip in the ambulance and an emergency room visit, quite expensive for a joke, so he refused to go in the ambulance. In the same way, Ms. Ford has made accusations, got the whole world interested, got reporters all over her house, all because she probably hates Donald Trump, not because of some party while high school age. Now that she's gotten so much attention and will have to spend a lot of money and time to fly to Washington, get a room, a car, etc., etc., and be put under a microscope by the senators, etc., she is asking that the FBI see what they can find. What a great diversion. There is no way the FBI should or will investigate such nonsense. She will have a way out of this mess and can blame the FBI that way. She accomplished what she wanted to upset anything Donald Trump tries to do. Very sick people out there.
All right, so that's the sum total of our correspondence that relates to Judge Kavanaugh. Let's see. Yesterday we talked about some female pirates. What do we know about those?
Well, we discussed piratry yesterday because it was National Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Was it?
And yes, it was. Not parrot, pirate.
Okay, although you were a pirate. I had a
parrot with me. You didn't comment on it. It was a beautiful bird sitting on my shoulder the entire program.
Beautiful plumage.
Right. Unfortunately, he made a mess on my shoulder, but that's another story. The notorious pirate Anne Bonny began her life as the illegitimate daughter of a wealthy Irish lawyer. In an effort to hide her dubious parentage, her father had her dress a boy and pose as his law clerk for part of her youth. She later moved to America, where she married a sailor in 1718 and journeyed to the pirate-infested island of New Providence in the Bahamas. There she abandoned her husband and fell under the spell of Calico Jack Rackham, a flamboyant buccaneer who plied his trade in the Caribbean. Bonny had always been known for her fierce and courageous temper. According to one legend, she nearly beat a man to death when he tried to force himself on her, and she quickly showed she could guzzle rum, curse, and wield a pistol and cutlass with the best of Calico Jack's crew. She later forged a friendship with fellow female pirate Mary Read, and the pair played a leading role in the spree of raids against small fishing boats and trading sloops in the summer and fall of 1720. Bonny's stint on the high seas was cut short that October when Calico Jack's ship was captured by a band of pirate hunters. Calico Jack and several other men were executed, but Bonny and Reed dodged the noose after they were both found to be pregnant. It's a fascinating story. I've read that before.
Wow. Who knew?
Yeah.
Women pirates and a cutlass. You don't hear too many stories.
Oh, that'd be a good weapon, my friend.
That would be a pirate's sword, I assume?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. Whew.
So we got that out of
Judge Kavanaugh. Now we're out of messages. All right. Well, we will take all comers. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565. Joe begins his extended weekend off starting tomorrow, but we'll have a co-host in here. Somebody's coming in. I don't know who, but we need a conservative to come in with me tomorrow. So if you've got any volunteers, let us know. 1-800-795-9565. You are welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com. Lines are lighting up, so we'll be talking about Judge Kavanaugh when we come back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. The text field is empty right now, so send us a text at 70236. Emails have one message in it that we're going to have to read tomorrow, but it is very important we read it tomorrow. It shows that everything the president says is true and everything that I say is false. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. And
we have two phone calls.
On the phones, yeah. Tony's first up. From Sheboken. Good morning, Tony. You're on the mark.
Good morning. I wonder how many people ever needed a newsman to tell them not to go stand in a hurricane.
Well, apparently their mothers aren't paying attention because that's the first thing you learn.
But, Joe, I saw that video you're talking about where the newsman's holding on for dear life.
Right.
And there's the two guys just strolling
across the street, not a thing wrong with him.
And the other one with Anderson Cooper standing in the ditch. I mean, but what do they think we are? Complete idiots out here.
Apparently so.
And as far as the Kavanaugh accuser goes, what does she want the FBI to do? To go find out what happened? So she, you know, and when it happened and where it happened? I mean, this is such a joke. I don't think anything happened, to be honest with you.
So you don't believe her, and I do believe her. So
I don't,
this is where
I don't believe her. I mean, when something happens, and you don't know where, when, who, and anybody else that was around at the time don't seem to remember any of this, even people that support her, something's funny. And why? I mean, I don't usually agree with Lindsey Graham, but he made a good point yesterday. She don't want to be... no press, you don't want to be identified, nothing, but yet she managed to go get a lie detector test.
How do we know that? You can do that on your own. You could just sign up for one and do it.
Why would you do it?
Well, apparently somebody along the way thought that would be evidence that would be helpful.
Especially if you didn't want to be known, identified. It just makes no sense to me. And no sense whatsoever. And just on another note, up on mile 113 on 180, there's two bald eagles on the side of the road eating roadkill. I never knew they did that.
Yeah, they're scavengers.
I had no way. I never seen them on the road highway before.
I hope they don't get run over.
All right, we got you, Tony.
I hope. Hey, have a good day.
Thanks. Yeah, you too. Thank you very much for calling in. Cindy, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, gentlemen. You know, this, I really feel like I'm on the horns of a dilemma, except that I do have some, with regard to this Kavanaugh thing, but I do have some principles which I believe in. And the Sixth Amendment of the Constitution says you have the right to, in criminal cases, to confront your accuser. Now, I'm not suggesting that Judge Kavanaugh should confront her, and nor is this a criminal case. But I think the fairness, the sense of justice that comes from that principle, which applies for criminal cases, spills over into this case. Doesn't he have the right to, and the Senate for that matter, to stand up for this accusation, to have this person come forward, say whatever it is she feels she needs to say, and then for him to respond? I mean, truly, this decision will be just like a jury. I think Joe said that yesterday. And just like a jury, the senators are going to have to decide who they believe, or if this behavior, committed as a minor, I might add, warrants denying this man a seat on the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, let's pretend that he, when he was a minor, right when this happened, this young woman came forward, made this accusation, and it was taken to court, and he lost. Wouldn't all of this have been sealed in court records? Yep. And don't we kind of give minors a new start when they can age out of prison and when they all of their misbehavior is sealed? So how is it right then that this comes up 35 years later or whatever the number is? He doesn't have any mechanism to respond to it but to testify, and I think he should. But as a woman, I understand that you could be reluctant, but once you've made this charge, you have to take responsibility for it. And she's a professional, a professor, a psychologist, certainly has the skill set, I'm sure, to speak in public. They've offered her the opportunity to speak in private, and she won't even respond to that. I think it's unfair. We can't. What civil society puts up with, tolerates, condones, and runs with, feel free to make any accusations you want, not be accountable for those accusations, and nothing comes of it except that the person you accuse is damned. I mean, that's not how our justice system works.
It's not how it should work, I agree.
And I don't want to live in a country that works that way. I don't want to live in a society that says that, you know, person X can make an accusation against this me, and I have, you know, it's just given that I'm guilty or responsible, and, you know, I'm damned for it. That's just outrageous.
Do you feel, let's stipulate for the moment, as we've done a couple times this week, that this actually happened.
Okay.
Does that, would that change your opinion if you were on the Senate Judiciary Committee?
No, Mark, I don't think it would, and I'll tell you why. Let's say this really happened. I look at what's gone on for the last 35 years in this man's behavior. Now, if this had happened last week, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, even 10 years ago, it might give me pause. But there is nothing in this man's behavior that's been examined 6 times by the FBI now to show him to be an abusive person. In fact, quite to the contrary, he has been an advocate for women. And I raised that up, was it early this week or late last week?
Right.
I mean, he has been a proactive advocate, taking action for women. So I even if it were true that he did this as a teenager, I would be inclined to vote for him, because in the last 35 years, he's dug himself out of that hole.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much, Cindy.
Thanks,
Cindy.
Really appreciate
your call.
The Sunbury Motor Company sells Ford, Hyundai, Kia, Lincoln cars and trucks, and a premier service provider for all makes of cars and trucks and all sizes of trucks, not just great big 18-wheelers, but little tiny trucks, too. They can sell it all, fix it all. They're a master towing service. They got decades of damage-free experience. There cannot be any business around here that's more comprehensive than the Sunbury Motor Company. And they even got a website that lets you save money before you even meet them. You can go there and download the Works, a fuel saver package, and then go to the Quick Lane, which is on North 4th Street in Sunbury, and they'll get you squared away so your car saves gas every time you go anywhere. SunburyMotors.com is a good starting point. Whether you need a new car, you're ready for a pre-owned vehicle, you want to sign up for the Quick Lane, or you want the Works, a fuel saver package, sign up at SunburyMotors.com. Al, you are on the mark. You're going to be our last caller and the last caller on Joe's Week.
Okay, well, maybe I can come on tomorrow then. Anyways, you're looking for somebody for tomorrow. I'm open.
Well, I've already sent a couple invitations out, but I have your contact information.
Hey, you know my story, and you know who I am, so it relates to that last call.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much.
Yep, bye.
Thanks for checking in. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate that. We'll see you Monday morning.
I'll be here.
All right, and tomorrow morning we'll either have Billy Allred or Alf or Stan Zellers or some good conservative sitting across from me. As soon as I invite them, I think that, or as soon as they reply, we'll know. This is WKOK Sunbury.